We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
An old friend of mine, another gentleman that I had the pleasure of working for some time in an absolute bleep storm of sports talk radio back in the Florida Panhandle. He is now with 92.9 The Game in the ATL. He's a friend of mine both on the air and off. My man Abe Gordon joins us here on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. Abe, what's up, fella? How you been, man?
Oh, everything's great, Rob. How are you, brother?
Good, big dog. Doing really well. Let me ask you a question before we start talking some ATL Falcons football. Do you have a phone voice? Like when you pick up the phone to call out or somebody calls you, do you have a phone voice that you just default switch to?
Not when I'm, like, calling a guest, because I always text them. They always know it's coming, so, like, it's not a shock. When I'm, like, cold calling to book, like, if they're not expecting it, and I'll put on a little bit of a show and kind of talk with some confidence then. But when I'm just dialing them up to get them on the air, it's just normal voice.
I always tend to get, like, somehow more aggressive with my phone voice. It's always like louder and I drop an octave. Anyway, Abe Gordon from 92.9 The Game joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. All right, Abe, let's talk a little bit about the ATL Falcons. Before we get into specific picks, overall grade for the ATL, bringing in Kyle Pitts up front. What are your thoughts on the overall draft of the Falcons?
Well, I'll say this in terms of a grade. I'm one of those guys that I'll let you know in 3 years when we actually see these guys get on the field and play for the team. But in terms of the idea and the premise behind the draft picks, I'll give it a B plus. I mean, look, they went with the best player available at one in Kyle Pitts, at least on their draft board. And for the rest of the draft, they filled out needs while also going best player available. They didn't reach for running back, because that was a need. They obviously didn't mess around with the quarterback once Trey Lance was off the board. Some would argue that was a need. But they looked at what they had. They looked who was on the board. They took the best player available at those positions. It's definitely a B+.
A B+ overall. Let's start with their number one pick at number four, and that is Kyle Pitts, listed as a tight end, but the guy really is kind of that joker spot. He can play tight end. He can play receiver. He's tall. He's got length. He's got hops, no doubt about it. I will tell you, as a divisional rival, Abe, who will be seeing Kyle Pitts twice a year, I'm not super excited, because I think if there was one skill position player in this draft that just seems to have all the tools to be a breakout stud from day one, it's got to be Kyle Pitts, man.
Well, here's the thing about Kyle Pitts from my perspective as it relates to him being a great draft pick. Is he a guy that's going to be running side-by-side with Julio Jones, or is he a guy that's going to be replacing Julio Jones? To me, that's the big difference in this pick. If you're taking him to improve the passing offense, improve the weaponry, all that stuff, you're keeping Julio Jones, then I love it. If you're just taking him to be a replacement for Julio Jones, now we're talking about more of a rebuild situation. Now I probably would have gone elsewhere. So I'm going to be optimistic. I think they're going to keep Julio Jones. And when you put him, like you mentioned, with Julio and Calvin Ridley, I mean, who are you double-teaming? Who's getting single coverage? Well, what sort of guy are you even trying to match up with Kyle Pitts, knowing that you got a corner on Julio, you got a corner on Cal Ridley? I mean, the guy, by every way, shape, or form, is described as a unicorn, and hopefully he could be that first of a new generation of tight ends.
I would be remiss not to ask you, and you just kind of went down that path, so we'll see if there's any new inside information making its way around the ATL circuit right now. My thought was Kyle Pitts was coming in to play alongside Julio, but also because he might be the most Julio-like replacement if he does get traded. I know that the discussion is more about cap room than it is about personnel, but Any new news? Are we going to expect to see Julio Jones in black and red next year?
In terms of news, I would say no. But here's the situation. The Julio Jones chatter came up before the draft. We've now went through Kyle Pitts and what they did in the draft. We can get into that in a second, whether this was a rebuild draft or a win-now draft. But the other aspect of this is head coach Arthur Smith, coming over from Tennessee, has said and pointed to Terry Fontenot as well, and he did have these comments. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, if you're looking to rebuild, you hired the wrong staff. We are trying to win right now. And with that said, you can't defend that comment and then also trade Julio Jones. So while the discussion's been going on a little bit longer, it's just based off of that comment, I feel in my gut they're going to do everything they can to keep Julio. Financially, they got to figure it out. I don't pretend to read all the books and know what their situation is entirely. It's not a good situation. Right now, they don't have the money to pay the draft class, but you hope they can figure that out without Julio being the guy they have to move.
Matt Ryan, and we'll come back to the draft, but Matt Ryan gets a new toy in Kyle Pitts. We'll see if Julio's still there. Obviously, Calvin Ridley is probably one of the most underappreciated wide receivers in the whole league. There was some talk that Atlanta might go quarterback at number 4 overall and go ahead and start the rebuild for the post-Matt Ryan era, but it looks like they buy in. We hear from people all around the country that say, oh, we're over Matt Ryan. It's time to move on if you're the Falcons, etc. But we get very little chatter, or at least I do, very little feel for how the front office genuinely feels about Matt Ryan and how folks in Atlanta feel about Matt Ryan. To me, the dude's underappreciated. The numbers have been there to solidify him as one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. Does the new coaching staff have long-term plans to stick with Matt Ryan?
I would say medium length term. You're talking 3 to a max of 5 years left in Matt Ryan. On the short end, maybe 2, but at least 2. I mean, here's what I'll say about Matt Ryan, because you could have had this discussion a couple years ago. I don't think we're having it right now. Matt Ryan is not a top 7 or top 8 quarterback in the NFL. But is he in that 9 to 12 category? Without question. And I think people lose sight of that. There's a lot of guys out there, young guys and veterans, that I certainly would not be taking over Matt Ryan, that get a lot more love than Matt Ryan does. So I'm very comfortable with Matt Ryan. I don't think his play is diminishing to the extent that a lot of people are saying it is. I think some of the things around him, I think quarterbacks, wins is a quarterback stat. And if the team doesn't win, people blame the quarterback. That's fine. But the offense and Matt Ryan did more than enough to win a number of games last year that the defense ended up losing on their behalf, or the special teams Cowboys game ended up losing on their behalf. So I have no concerns about Matt Ryan. We just saw Tom Brady with diminishing physical skills get it done. I know you, as a Saints guy, have seen Drew Brees with even more diminishing physical skills to a very high level still get it done. So for me, Matt Ryan is the least diminished physically of any of those 3 guys. So I'm very comfortable with what Matt Ryan is doing, where he's at. And like you said, with Julio Jones, Kyle Pitts, Calvin Ridley, Hayden Hurst, hopefully Arthur Smith bringing a run game, very comfortable where the offense is heading into this season.
Abe Gordon from 92.9 The Game in the ATL joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. Looking through the rest of that pick, went big in the defensive backfield on the defensive side. Richie Grant in the 2nd round and Darren Hall in round number 4. We knew that the defensive backfield was going to be a big question mark from the ATL, some free agent departures, et cetera, and in a division that Sam Darnold is going to try to break the chains of the New York Jets with Carolina. We don't know if Jameis Winston is a 30-pick, 30-touchdown guy again, or if that LASIK surgery under Sean Payton's tutelage will take him to be the player he was supposed to be. And obviously, there's some nerd down in Tampa Bay named Tom that you have to face off. Does Atlanta feel more comfortable with their defensive backfield after bringing 3 guys in through the draft?
No, you don't. You picked up a couple guys in free agency, but you, look, as you mentioned, you let Keanu Neal, starting safety, leave in free agency. You let Ricardo Allen, you'd straight up released him with 1 year left on his deal. That was financial reasons. He was a defensive leader in that secondary. I mean, look, A.J. Terrell had a breakout season. You got a starting point there, all right? You have a true number one corner. You can bring him in. Richie Grant's supposed to be put right in there day one and start. But you brought in some guys in free agency that are like borderline starters, rotational guys. You have a couple guys that maybe you could play at nickel, but you really don't trust as a number two corner. There's a lot of questions in the secondary that need to be answered. And look, whether that's going to be the weakness of this team or not, I mean, Arthur Smith brought in, longtime defensive coordinator Dean Pease to fix this defense. There's going to be a lot of modifications. It's not going to look the same as it has in recent years. And the secondary is definitely one of the question marks. But you do have that starting point with A.J. Terrell. So you just hope – I mean, like you said, we got three guys in the defensive backfield, four guys here that you know, you got to get two starters out of them. You have to. So you pencil in Richie Grant, and you hope Darren Hall is that other guy. But, fourth round DBs thrown in week one, I mean, that's a concern. No doubt about it.
We are speaking with Abe Gordon from 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. You guys asked for a Falcons insider, so I went to my dude. Let's talk about the new coaching staff. How is the development? I mean, I know we've got Matt Rhule making his way through his second season there in Carolina. The Carolina fans seem to – this guy's growing on them immensely, and obviously he's had more time in the saddle than Arthur Smith has had in the ATL. When that hiring was made, I didn't really sense any ripples of excitement out of Atlanta about who the hire was. It was almost more excitement that Dan Quinn was just finally gone and maybe talent would stop being wasted in the ATL. So now that they've had some time in the saddle, now that they've gotten through the draft a couple of weeks from OTAs, what's the temperature gauge on how the new coach is handling his business?
Yeah, it's been an interesting reaction, and you probably know this being a Saints fan, but it seemed to be more excitement about Terry Fontenot, the GM joining, coming from New Orleans, than it was for Arthur Smith. But I think that'll come as we see the product on the field. I mean, look, and first off, I'm a Matt Rhule guy. I've hung out with Matt Rhule. I know him from his college days. I'm a big fan of Matt Rhule. He came in with a different situation there in Carolina because it was a given rebuild. Like, they literally told you, hey, we're on a full rebuild, so y'all need to be a little patient. We didn't get that here. We got kind of the opposite. We're not here to rebuild. We're going to try and win now, blah, 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 blah. So that excitement, like, you don't have he's not going to have the patience that Matt Rhule is going to be given because he said that. I mean, he's got to come and win now, like they said. So, look, we know what Arthur Smith did in Tennessee. People were very excited about that. Cool. You don't have Derrick Henry. So, like, let's keep it realistic here. I mean, we got a unicorn at tight end. We don't have that unicorn at running back that Derrick Henry was. So, you know, you're going to bring that power rush game and all that stuff. Like, it's just not going to happen season one. So, I'm a little bit more hesitant to jump on board. I'd like to see some of the changes. But whether you want to say you're winning now or not, whether you want to say you're rebuilding, you're going through, like, a transitional period. It's like a 2 to 5 year period where there's going to be a lot of changes here. So I'm going to wait it out with Arthur Smith. But you're right, the excitement level wasn't crazy. I think a lot of people looked at Kansas City's Eric Bieniemy and kind of penciled him in as the guy that we were going to bring in and take advantage of this new offensive mindset the league has. And while we did go with an offensive mastermind, if you want to call him that, it wasn't the guy a lot of people had been expecting. And so I think that was a little bit of a damper on the hire.
More of a and you brought up his name, and I'm really glad to hear that because I got to tell you, the acquisition that most concerns me as the biggest rival of the Atlanta Falcons, as an NFC South rival down in New Orleans, is the acquisition of Terry Fontenot. I mean, Mickey Loomis has for years, the Saints have gone into every year, oh, they're in cap hell, and every year Mickey Loomis has managed to navigate them through. Terry Fontenot has been a guy who has been learning from Mickey Loomis for many years. And I got to tell you, I think he's listen, y'all dealt him a bad hand in having to come up and deal with the cap situation that you find yourselves in. And it may cost Julio Jones at the end of things. But the feeling I'm getting right now is that Terry Fontenot is already earning his value there in Atlanta, and I think Falcons fans are coming around on that.
There's been a lot of drafts in the past couple of years under Thomas Dimitroff that there were a lot of questions about who were drafted, and you look 2-3 years down the road, people are already like moving past that, like hey, we got to make sure we hit on the second round pick. Like, we've missed on the second round pick a lot under TD. People are already touting Richie Grant as like, you know, a 10-year starter. So the excitement there, like you said, yeah. But let me say something about this idea of cap hell. Cap hell only exists when you're in a bad salary cap situation and losing. Like, when you win, there is no such thing as cap hell. Your guys figure out a way to get it done. Like, look at the Buccaneers. Like, they weren't supposed to be able to bring back everyone, but they brought back everyone because they're winning and people take pay cuts and extensions and all that stuff. It's different when you're losing. So the idea of cap hell, and you saw that in New Orleans, the idea of cap hell only exists if you're losing games and you need to cut salary because of that. You know, if you're winning, you know, there's no such thing. So hopefully they can figure out a way to keep Julio, and if they win a couple games, the idea of that will kind of slide away.
Abe Gordon from 92.9 The Game in Atlanta joining us. All right, Abe, listen, I have over the years just gotten to the point where I don't even make predictions about what the Falcons are going to look like anymore, because every year I look at the roster and I go, this team is too damn talented to be a four-win football team again, and then every year they find a way to do it. I'm hoping with a new head coach, a new GM, that trend will go away, but I am not going to be overconfident with your Falcons on the air again until they prove to me that it's the right decision. Instead, I'll put the onus on you. Your way too early prediction for where the Falcons end up in the NFC South.
Yeah, I mean, it's a ridiculous question to ask, right? Because we just don't know. And honestly, I think of all the teams that are going to be hurt by a second offseason of pandemic limitations, this year at least, Panthers dealt with it last year with a new head coach. We're dealing with it this year with a new head coach. Really would have liked to have had guys a lot more in person there, but with a veteran quarterback, I think they can get stuff done. And you're right. You look at this offense, how could they possibly not score 35 points a game? How could they possibly lose, double-digit games? But here we are. So with that said, Falcons are the only team in the NFL this season with only 7 true home games. One of their home games is given up to London, so only 7 home games. They do get the Jaguars. You hope that's early when Trevor Lawrence hasn't figured it out yet. This is pessimistic. I know I'm not going to buy in on a full, like, complete reversal of fortune. I'm going to say that they finish, and I hope I'm wrong. I could very easily be wrong. I'm going to say 7-10. Remember, there's 17 games. I got to redo all my math, which is not comfortable on the spot. I'm going to say 7-10. I don't know how they beat the Buccaneers home or away. Just like, oh, I do every year, split with the Panthers, split with the Saints is what you're hoping for, home and away. You can beat the Jaguars and you deal with the rest of the schedule. I'll say 7-10.
7-10, says Abe Gordon, and it certainly will be the first of many times we'll get him on to talk a little Falcons football. Abe, my man, it's great to catch up with you, buddy. It's been too long. You and I need to do a Zoom with a couple of fingers of bourbon sometime at the very near time. Go ahead and get your in-book parting shot in before you get off the air.
I'm just saying, I mean, that's the plan. Like, I mean, I get that Taysom Hill's not the future, but boy, if Ian books the future, the Falcons are set up for a long, successful run in the NFC South. That's
awesome. Hey, the last 6-foot tall quarterback from Indiana with a birthmark on his face did pretty well. So, you know, Sean Payton's a quarterback whisperer. You know what's coming.
Is he though?
You know,
or did
you know,
he catch
I,
an all-time great?
And this
or did
is
he
true.
Catch an all-time great?
No, I mean, he caught an all-time great, but keep in mind, there were 30 other, well, I guess 29 other teams in the league that could have made a move on him and didn't.
Look at Belichick here. Like, what happens if he fails with Mac Jones, which everyone's saying is, quote, the perfect guy for Belichick? Like, what happens if he fails with Mac Jones? Like, are we just totally off of the Belichick is great?
Like, I already am, dude. Like, I already am.
Yeah, I'm already off of it. Brady 1 year. Because it took him 1 year to prove that it wasn't Belichick at all. It took him one season.
Yeah.
If Belichick misses with Mac Jones, dude, his legacy's taking a hit.
Oh, yeah. Listen, at the end of the day, he's always going to walk around with six Super Bowl rings on. No doubt about it. But to me, yeah, it took 1 year. I don't think it's knee-jerk. It took 1 year
That's
to
like
prove that it was
Jesse
over.
Owens track coach, though. Like, you may as well call yourself Jesse Owens track coach. When you have the most talented guy in the world, yeah, you're going to come up with four gold medals every couple of 4 years. I mean, it is what it is. So,
Abe, let's do it again real soon, big fella.
Anytime, brother. Let me know.
You got it. That's Abe Gordon from 92.9 The Game in the ATL. You can follow him on Twitter at Abe Gordon. Tremendous NFL follow and a good guy to have around. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show. It's ESPN Upstate.